Hi, my name is Joe Pickett. I am the executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary, and I'm here to tell you about some words with interesting and sometimes troublesome pronunciations. They are words you often see on the web and in the news, but you usually don't hear them a lot in ordinary conversation. Still, they come up from time to time, and you may even use them yourself. But you may not be saying them correctly. Or you might pronounce them correctly and don't realize that your correct pronunciation was considered a laughable mistake just a few decades ago. Lucky, aren't you? These words are all discussed in the book, 100 Words Almost Everyone Mispronounces. The book takes a fun look at 100 of these perennial tongue tires, like affluent, and debacle, and mischievous, and long-lived. And anyway, here are a few others you might like to read about. It's a lazy afternoon, so you decide to take it easy. You go out on the porch with your book and lie back on that funny-looking chair that looks like a sofa that never quite got there, or maybe like a chair that was designed by the same guy who invented the roller coaster. You are about to pick up where you left off when a disturbing thought crosses your mind. How do they say the name of this thing I'm sitting on, or half sitting on, half lying on? How do they say the name? Then you remember, it's a chaise lounge. No, wait, that doesn't make sense. You can't chaise and lounge at the same time. No, it's a chaise lounge. That's it. Or is that the name of a bar down the street? You're getting warmer. What about Chaise Lounge? You've heard that, right? Then you remember, the word comes from French. Yes, in French, it's a chaise longue. Chaise, C-H-A-I-S-E. That's the French word for chair. And long, with a U-E on the end, is the word for long. It's a long chair. That's a long chair, not a lawn chair. It's a chair that is long. You can see why we needed a different name for this thing. Most people who speak English can't speak French very well, if at all, and they usually make the French words they borrow sound more like the English words they already know. When it comes to pronouncing words, the majority usually rules. What most people say goes. And in this case, most people say chaise longue, which isn't too far from the French original. You can probably get away with chaise lounge, too, if you say that. It's in some dictionaries now. The lounge is really just the French word long with the U move forward a little in the word, a creative misspelling, so to speak, to look more like English. But chaise lounge? Don't go there. There are spies everywhere. And their secret operations are often called covert operations. Of course, you can also call them covert operations, with a stress on the second syllable instead of the first. And you can even call them covert operations. In fact, the traditional and long-standing pronunciation of this word is covert, with the same vowel that's in our word cover. Cover and covert, not surprisingly, are both related. Both come from a French word meaning cover. Covert comes from the past participle of the same word that gave us cover. But if that's the case, you might ask, where did the co-pronunciation come from that the CIA likes so much? This pronunciation arose quite recently, linguistically speaking. It appeared sometime in the 20th century, and it probably came about by the influence of covert's opposite, overt, a word spies tend to avoid. Overt is normally pronounced with the stress only on the first syllable. Overt. Covert tends to have its stress on the first syllable when it precedes a noun, as in covert operations. But the stress tends to move to the second syllable when it stands alone, as in the operation was classified as covert. It's likely that the covert pronunciation will eventually vanish into the shadows, but it's still considered standard for now. This word presents a good example of a standard pronunciation being slowly supplanted by one that at one time must have seemed a mistake to many people. The pronunciation of foreign words has never been my forte. Or has it never been my forte? This is a case of confusion compounded. There are two words in English that are spelled F-O-R-T-E. One comes from French, where it has one syllable and means a strong point, something you do well. The other word comes from Italian, where they always pronounce the vowels at the ends of words. It has two syllables and means loud. It's used in music. English speakers thought that the strong point word was really the same word as the loud word, because the two words are spelled the same. So people began to use the two-syllable pronunciation forte for the word meaning strong point. If you want to show you know where the strong point word comes from, say fort. But by now, so many people pronounce the word forte that we have to consider both pronunciations correct. Those flabby muscles and sagging bellies you've been seeing at the beach all summer, what do you call them? Less than buff, perhaps? Or you might say that they are flaccid. The word flaccid comes from Latin, but the Latin word had a KS sound in the middle, not an S sound. In fact, most words in English that are spelled with two C's in the middle, like flaccid, are pronounced with a KS. People accept invitations. They have accidents. They can be eccentric. And not surprisingly, flaccid was originally pronounced and continues to be pronounced correctly as flaccid. Where did flaccid come from then? No one knows, but it seems to be another of those wonderful inventions of the 20th century. It's possible that some people didn't remember that there were two C's in the middle and thought there was only one C, and so they pronounced the word to rhyme with other one C words like acid and placid. And maybe the S sound is more evocative of flab and softness in general than the more staccato KS sound. If you say flaccid, don't feel lame. It has become so popular that it's become more common than the old KS pronunciation. Flaccid is the pronunciation most people prefer, no matter what their body type. Recent events have been mind-blowing in their significance, monumental, major, huge, as the sportscasters say, and a little scary. They are, in a word, portentous. Not portentous. The word portentous ends in T-O-U-S, not T-I-O-U-S, but people often pronounce it and spell it as if portentous was the correct word. Not so. It's easy to understand how this mistake arose. People like patterns in language, and they like to keep things neat and tidy when they can. There are a number of existing T-I-O-U-S words, like contentious, pretentious, and sententious, and people naturally and quite innocently threw portentous into this basket. But this is a change that has not caught on far and wide. It does not appear in most dictionaries. Most people still consider it a mistake, so don't make it. You have a whole lot of something, a great deal, an abundance, maybe even too much. Then you have a plethora, right? Wrong. The proper way to pronounce the word is plethora, with a stress on the first syllable. We have a plethora of money to spend. You don't hear sentences like that very often. In fact, you don't hear the word plethora very often. It's a more formal word that is more likely to be read than said. It's not hard to understand why people pronounce the word as plethora. After all, English has other aura words. Think of the aurora borealis in the sky, or the fedora that you wear on your head, or the Pandora's box that you really shouldn't have opened. In spite of all these nifty aura words, the plethora pronunciation is still considered a mistake and doesn't appear in dictionaries. It will be interesting to see whether plethora changes under the influence of all these aura words, the way patina has under the ina words. How often do you say often? Lots of people pronounce the T in this word, even though the T sound fell out hundreds of years ago. It often happens in languages that clusters of consonants, which require some effort to pronounce, get simplified or reduced. This is why we don't pronounce the D in handsome or handkerchief, or the P in raspberry, or the T in chestnut, or listen, or often. But sometimes people who can read start pronouncing the letters they see, even when they aren't pronounced in speech. When this happens, it's called a spelling pronunciation. And this is exactly what is happening when people say often. It happens in other words, too, like the pronunciation of falcon with an L. It's historically a falcon. Or the pronunciation of controller, the finance person, with an M and a P. If you say the comptroller is often in a bad mood, you're using spelling pronunciations. And as it turns out for these words, there's nothing wrong with that. We're facing a serious problem, but luckily a cadre of elite scientists has been assembled to attack it. Feel relieved? You should, even though the pronunciation cadre is another one of those American inventions that began as a mistake. The word comes from French cadre, which has no accent over the E at the end and is not pronounced with an A sound. In fact, the original pronunciation in English has a French ending but an English-sounding beginning. You can say a cadre of researchers and be speaking correctly. Why did we change the way we say this word? The final A sound may have been introduced by way of another French borrowing, cachet. That's C-A-C-H-E-T. Remember that the French often don't pronounce the final consonants in words. The parler of Parlez-vous Français ends in a Z. Other French borrowings that end in an A sound, like cliché and protégé and résumé, may have also played a role in lending cadre an A ending. These words have accent marks on their E's in French, indicating that they are pronounced with an A sound. But these marks often get dropped in English spelling. They're such a hassle. And so a word like cadre, which ends in R-E, might seem to be of a feather with cliché or forte, another French word that got an A sound tacked onto it. But not to worry. You can pronounce this word either way as cadre or cadre, and no dictionary will say you're wrong. The cadre pronunciation is used by so many speakers, even by people who know some French, that it has to be considered standard. If you think James Dean is the coolest guy you've ever seen, and you want to have people admire you in the same way they admired him, don't say he's the epitome of cool. Epitome has four syllables and rhymes with anatomy, though it has an E on the end, not a Y. It means a representative example or a perfect example of something. When a bronze statue is exposed to the weather, it turns a pale green. This pale green layer on the outside of it is called a what? Most people call it a patina, to rhyme with other words that end in ina, like cantina and marina, and with names like Christina and Katrina. But the older, and some would say proper pronunciation, is patina. The word is often used as a metaphor for an outward appearance, in much the same way that the word veneer is. You hear, they're just trying to give this idea a patina of legitimacy, for example. Or, I think he wants to maintain a patina of respectability. This is another example of a word that is seen more in print than used in ordinary conversation, and that got pronounced along the pattern of existing words that were more familiar. The mistake has become so common that it can't be considered wrong anymore, and it may even be pushing the older pronunciation out of the language. But just remember, no one says patina. Sure, all you have to do is wait until 2061. Then you'll see what others have seen every 76 years or so. That's Halley's Comet, of course. Astronomers will beg to differ. They will tell you it's Halley's Comet because it's named after Edmund Halley, the astronomer who lived from 1646 to 1742. He successfully predicted the comet's reappearance in 1758. People have been mispronouncing Halley's name as Halley for a long time. This pronunciation was reinforced in the public imagination by the 1950s rock and roll band Bill Haley and His Comets. Rocker Haley spelled his last name with one L, but astronomer Halley spelled his name with two. So, properly speaking, the name of the astronomer should rhyme with the word valley. Only, maybe not. There's some evidence that Edmund Halley pronounced his last name, or at least that others pronounced his last name, as Hawley, as if it referred to a house with a lot of halls in it, a Hawley house. Halley's name was sometimes spelled with a W, replacing the first L. So there you have it. Halley's comet is wrong. Halley's comet is right, maybe. And Hawley's comet would sound weird even if the guy really did go by that name. So say Halley's comet and keep your eyes on the sky.